Thanks so much, Les. If you open your Bibles back to that passage, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're doing a new series, Luke 4 and 5, leading up to Advent, Encounters with Jesus. And that first song we sang is so true. We want Jesus, the Lord, to open our eyes that we might see more of Jesus and get a more glorious picture of him as God's people. And tonight we see that in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And what I wanted to do, first of all, as we come to this passage, I want you, where you are, in twos and threes or fours or however you fancy it, just chat to the person next to you for 30 seconds. And can you name for me the predators of the seal, the impala, the deer, and also that little fly at the top? You've got 30 seconds. Off you go. How many predators can you name for those different animals, where they are? How many predators are there? Can you name them? For the seal, the deer, it's an impala, I think, and also a little fly. Okay, that's quite enough. Thank you very much. Okay, so who can tell me some predators for a seal? Shout them out. Polar bear, who else? Killer whale, anybody else? Humans, yes, anybody else? Pardon? Suba? Oh, yes, well done, Jill. Well, what about this here? Oh, look, it grew up and it got killed by a massive big shark. Ferocious. Okay, what about the impala, the deer? Who are the predators for the impala or the deer? Shout them out. Lion, who else? Leopard, who else? Cheetah, anybody else? Humans, anybody else? What about a boa constrictor? Look away if it screams. Oh, too late, you've seen it. Okay, last one. The fly. A fly, shout them out. Humans, birds, chameleons, frogs. 10 out of 10, Ron George. It's a chameleon. Look at that tongue flashing out and getting that little fly. Prey and predator. Prey and predator. Well, what about the Christian? Do you know that we are prey? Before we come to know Christ, we are in the kingdom of the evil one, the kingdom of darkness. But as soon as we are part of Jesus' family, his people, the kingdom of light, we have a predator. We have an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. Satan is the predator, and the Christian is prey. Jesus makes that clear in many places. In John 10, verse 10, he says that Satan is our enemy. He's like a thief who comes to destroy and steal and kill. In John 8, 44, Jesus says that Satan is the father of lies, and we are all so easily deceived, aren't we? The Apostle Peter writes, "Be alert, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And Paul teaches the Ephesians that we need God's armor to help us protect ourselves from the power of Satan in the battle we face against the devil's schemes. When you come to know and follow Jesus, it is a battle. Satan is the enemy of his people. Are we aware of that fact? And let's be honest, he's had a pretty strong and powerful track record in his battle against God's people. Take, for example, the first human. Luke mentions him in the last verse of chapter 3, verse 38. The son of Adam, the son of God. Can you see that before our reading? Adam. What was his track record in the battle with Satan in the Garden of Eden? Well, Satan deceived him, didn't he? He deceived him and Eve. They doubted the promises of God. They disobeyed God. They were seduced by his lies in their minds, in their eyes, and in their hearts. And the consequence was huge. They were thrown out of the garden. The first man, the Son of God, as we're told in verse 38 of chapter 3, was deceived. Did you know that the next person called the Son of God is actually a nation? It is the nation of Israel. God calls them together, the men and the women, Israel, my son. Oh, we're looking at them in our series in Exodus at the moment. And in the book of Exodus, God calls Israel his son. As he tells Moses to speak to Pharaoh, he says, "This is what the Lord says, Israel, my firstborn son, and I've told you, let my son go." How does this Son of God do? How do the people of God do? Well, this next Son of God, we're told in Deuteronomy 8, are led by God into the wilderness for 40 years to test them, so God can know their hearts, to see whether they would keep his commands. How did this Son of God do? Not well. There's a whole generation who did not make it to the promised land because their sinful, rebellious hearts. Like the first Son of God, Adam, before them, they doubted God's good words and promise and rebelled time after time after time against the Lord. Now, if we are Christians through faith in God the Son tonight, we are the children of God. We can say, I am a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we might look at the track record of Adam, the first son of God, and the people of Israel, God's son, and we might feel a little nervous about our own life as followers of the Lord, as sons and daughters of God. I didn't really watch the latest sort of incarnation of Gladiator. We're all up for that because Ace is coming in a few weeks' time. But it's called Ninja Warrior. It's just great television. I adore it. So does Winnie. Nobody else likes it in our house, but we watch it. But Ninja Warrior is fantastic because there's some incredibly fit people. And they face this enormous assault course. And some of these guys and girls are just popping with muscles. You think, they're going to do it. And yet, time after time, you watch them and they fall in the water and they fail. Imagine you were there, behind all these people looking so fit, and you see them collapsing and failing. You think, how on earth can I finish this race, this ninja warrior course? It would be totally, totally overwhelming. You see, we can feel like that, can't we? In the spiritual battle, as we look at the first Adam, God's people, other Christians since who've struggled and disobeyed the Lord, we could lose a heart in this spiritual battle against the predator Satan as Christians. As we battle with sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, it is tough. We fail, and Satan loves to accuse us. And we wonder, how on earth will we survive the battle? We have a ferocious and real enemy. We meet him in our passage tonight, and he's called Satan. Maybe we are battle-weary tonight as Christians. We feel we've failed the Lord hugely. Maybe we are complacent and think, I don't have to worry about that, I'm fine. Well, whatever we are tonight in this whole sense of being aware of the battle, I wonder tonight, what is your strength? What is your hope? What is my hope? What is my strength when I see that others have fallen and failed? Or simply from our passage tonight, our hope is in Jesus. You see, Jesus is the victorious King. That's what we see in this opening verses as he encounters Satan. We see Jesus is the victorious King. Our hope is not in us and our ability to withstand the assaults of Satan. Our hope is in King Jesus, his victory, his perfection, his perfect record. Our hope is in the Son of God, begotten of God, born of Mary, eternally God the Son with the Father and the Spirit. Our hope, brothers and sisters, tonight, as we face another week of battle against Satan, is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus, the victorious King, the Son of God. You know, Luke's whole concern in writing this gospel, chapter 1, is to give us certainty in what we've believed. And tonight I want us to have certainty in the victory of Christ for us. Certainty in Jesus. And we see in this passage, it's not about us, but it's about Jesus, the Son of God, the victorious King, and his identity is key in this whole bit of the Bible. Just look at the way that Luke emphasizes his identity. So back in chapter 3, verse 21, we have his baptism, and we hear God the Father's words from heaven, verse 22. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of the Father. Then the Son of God led by the Spirit, chapter 4, verse 1, is led into the wilderness for 40 days. Reminds us of God's people, doesn't it? The other son led into the wilderness for 40 years. And as Jesus led into the wilderness, who is there? Well, surprise, surprise, the devil rocks up. But of course he does. He's going to do battle with Jesus. And we ask ourselves, well, the previous sons of God didn't do so well. How will this Son of God fare? How does he do? Is there any hope in the face with the battle, with sin, the world, and the devil? Will it always go the way, the same way that we've seen in the Bible? Will the second Adam get on okay? It was a worrying start, isn't it? Verse 2. Jesus is starving. He's hungry. He's not eaten a thing, verse 2, for 40 days. He was hungry. Jesus is physically weak and vulnerable in his human nature. I know what you're like when you've not eaten or you're hungry or weary, but I know that I'm far more prone to temptation and weakness and doubt. Will this be a wipeout moment for Jesus? Is there any hope to be found in this Son of God for us? Well, the devil throws three temptations at him. Notice that these temptations are framed in the context of the identity of Jesus. That's the issue. That's the challenge. Verse 3, Satan says, if you are the Son of God. Verse 9, if you are the Son of God. What is going on here? Satan is luring Jesus to act in a way that shows his identity, but to act independently of his Father. And so, trying to create a rebellious son like Adam, the first Adam. Will Jesus be like Adam or Israel, a rebellious son? That's what Satan wants. He wants a rebellious son of God, another one. Will he do it? Three temptations. Temptation 1, verse 3, have a look. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. There is Jesus, he is weak, he is hungry. Jesus, you're weak and hungry, Satan says. Surely, as the Son of God, you should feed yourself. Make this more comfortable for yourself. Eat. Of course, Jesus could do it. We know we'll see him feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He filled the nets of his disciples full of fish. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Of course, he could turn this stone into bread if he wanted to. But he will not do it. He will not obey the words of the enemy Satan to lead him into an easier path. This is a test, a temptation to obey the word of the enemy or the word of God. How does Jesus respond? Well, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And that's the very chapter that recalls that God led his second son, the people of Israel, into the wilderness for 40 years to test them where they fail. Well, Jesus is victorious. Look at what he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 4. Man shall not live on bread alone. Jesus says, Satan, You suggest feeding my body should take priority over obeying my God? No way. God, my Father, has said, man shall not live on bread alone. Will Jesus be a rebellious son of God? No. Boom. Temptation 2, read verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Now we know, don't we, after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, that the Father gives Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. So Satan says, why not have it now? Avoid the path of pain, of suffering, of the cross. I can give you glory now. Surely, Jesus, the Father wants you to have authority now. Just give me your allegiance and worship me, and it's all yours. Now, while Satan is called the prince of this earth, and he does have power, this offer is not for him to give. But how does Jesus respond? Well, once again, he takes the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, from Deuteronomy, this time chapter 6. And he quotes that, verse 8. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He says, Satan, you offer me universal power at the price of worshipping you. But my Father has told me that men and women are not to worship anyone but him. I will not worship you. I will not be a disobedient son. I will not walk away from the path of suffering and the cross. I will wait for the glory to come. Will Jesus be a rebellious son of God? No. Boom. Temptation number 3, verses 9 to 11. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Wow. There is Satan. And now he's quoting from the Bible. He's quoting from the Bible. Psalm 91, come on, Jesus, it says there that God will protect you. So why not try and prove that and try him out and test him? Why not test and prove your Father? Jump and he'll save you. Jesus, just do as I say. I've quoted scripture. He sounds quite spiritual here, doesn't he? But it's just a presumptuous test of God's care. What does Jesus do? Once again, he quotes in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16. Have a look at verse 12 of chapter 4. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan, you propose that I should test God's promise to suit my own convenience. I will not be a disobedient son. No. Boom. Can we see that where Adam before him and Israel before him failed, Jesus, the Son of God, the second Adam, is the loyal Son, the perfect God-man, who is the victorious King. He is who God says he is, my Son. And the devil walks away. Chapter 3, verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now, when was that? When did we see the devil throwing everything he had at Jesus Christ? Well, the next time is 3 years later. There's lots of demonic activity in between this point and the cross, but actually on the darkest day, Jesus is crucified. And it seems like Satan is having his way as Jesus, the Son of God, is crucified. So flick forward briefly to chapter 23 of Luke, and let's go and have a quick look at that. Chapter 23 of Luke is page 1060. And it's striking what happens here. Once again, Jesus is challenged to avoid being the obedient son of God. So chapter 23, verse 35. The people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." Verse 36. The soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And third time, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But Jesus, who is able with a word to get the armies of heaven to deliver him, is the obedient son even to death. He follows God's word and plan for his life to be the suffering servant and savior. Where others fail, Jesus is victorious in his obedience. He is the loyal, obedient Son of God, who obediently walks the way of suffering that we might be saved and the power of death defeated. Isn't that wonderful? His obedience means disobedient sinners like you and me, who fail, who give in to Satan's temptation so easily, can be saved through the perfection of his life and his sacrifice. In the face of temptation and testing, Jesus is the first man ever to raise an effective defense. Satan's card is marked. The writing is on the wall. His days are numbered. The time of the prince of the world's reign is counting down. Jesus defeats sin and death and gloriously rises from the grave, and one day he will return to establish a new heaven and a new earth, and Satan and his enemies be thrown forever into a lake of fire, judged forever. But until that day, how will we, if we're believers tonight, live? You see, we have an enemy. We are the prey of the predator, Satan. He wants you and I, day by day, to be rebellious children and to deny our Father, to doubt his word, to disobey him. That's the onslaught. That's the threat daily we face. Now, we should not fear him. Christ has won the victory. He cannot rob us of heaven. We are safe in the Savior's grip. But he can make the journey painful. But we need to be aware of thinking that he's not deceptive, he's not cunning, and he's not at work to lead us away. He is. What to do? Three R's as we close. First one, resist. That's the advice of James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that is a daily thing. I wonder if you pray the Lord's Prayer each day. It's a great thing to pray that line, and lead us not into temptation. We're acknowledging that today will be a day where I'll be tempted and deceived and challenged to turn away from Jesus. And as I pray that, we should pray, "Lord Jesus, help me to resist." We resist as we read the word and soak ourselves in the word, and we use the word of God to defend ourselves from the attack of the evil one. That's what Jesus does. That is what we can do too. Resist. Second R, rejoice. Don't know what you were like in the school playground. I thought it was always safest to hang around with the biggest people possible and find safety in their shadow. It always worked. He's a guy called Andrew Minot. He was built like a brick, like a rhinoceros actually. And to keep safe in playground politics was you hid yourself in the shadow of Andrew Minor, and all was well. Well, we can rejoice that our hope and confidence is not in our ability to resist, because we know that we will fail, but we're to rest in and hide in the shadow of the Lord Jesus, the victorious, mighty King, who is obedient and made the way for failures to be saved and kept and strengthened. Rejoice and rest in him, our mighty conquering Son and King. Now, the writer to the Hebrews applies Jesus' victory over temptation to us today. Have a look at these little verses here. It says this. It's talking about Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. We've seen that tonight in our passage. Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This third R came to me this afternoon. It came so late, it's not on our screens, but actually the third R is rely. Let us rely on Jesus, our great high priest, to give us strength and grace and help and mercy when we fail, and strength and power to resist as we face the onslaught in the battle with Satan. And so the great joy for us tonight is that we have Jesus, the victorious King. And he calls us to resist the devil, to rejoice that our hope is in him, not in our success, but in his sinlessness, his victory, his cross. And we're called to rely on him, the one who dealt with temptation, faced it for us, resisted it, has made the way for us to know God forever. Resist, rejoice, rely. Let me pray.